Welcome to a new episode of the Kick Out Podcast. WrestleMania weekend was crazy, and we're going to get into some of that today. I've got my special, well, before I get to my special guest, let's go into my co-host. We've got my co-host here,
Twitter
Position Zone, Mex, and also Kick Out and Rest Things. Mex, how are you?
I belong to too many entities.
You are.
I love talking about wrestling, man. What can I do? I'm doing very well, man. How about yourself?
Well, yeah, good, man. Like you just said, you love talking about wrestling. We love the passion, and I actually appreciate you coming here because I swear you landed in the UK from Philly. Monday night.
Yeah, landed on Tuesday, and literally went and saw my parents.
Yeah,
because they were asking me, oh, like all of this stuff. My parents have TikTok, which is very crazy in this day and age. But they've been seeing a lot of stuff.
Good, they've been seeing. So, they're proudly the boy. They're seeing all the stuff that you're putting up. You're working very hard. I've always said that you're the hardest working man in podcast business,
regardless what
genre of podcast. And I also appreciate you being here because you just came back from GP Towers. You were doing the episode.
I was just doing GP.
Grid Position. You drove down here to see us today. So,
and I'm going wrestling's afterwards.
Right. So, this is what I mean. This is my brother Mex, man. Listen, we're going to talk about your WrestleMania journey on this episode. But let's introduce our special guest. He's a sports journalist. He's a wrestling enthusiast. He is Dale. Dale, thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you so much, guys. It's a pleasure to be on. Obviously, Skillet, we've known each other for quite a while now.
Yeah.
We've met through the wrestling game.
Yeah.
But excited to talk all things WrestleMania, man.
I felt like I met you through the journalism first.
Yeah.
Before any...
It was Money in the Bank.
I met you at Money in the Bank last year when they were in the UK. You were doing press with us.
Yeah.
And we got like a house of fire.
Yeah, I think it was about 30 seconds and we were literally by the ring taking photos and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Wild, cracking joke.
Yeah.
We just got on really well, and then it was good to see you at Gorilla Positions WrestleMania watch along party a couple months afterwards.
Yeah,
and you won a lot of prizes, and I think that's when it cemented the friendship.
Yeah,
really,
man, definitely. I think for me, it's when you meet like-minded people, you just automatically click.
Yeah,
and I think when that happens, you're a wrestling enthusiast.
Yes, man.
Boy, magic's gonna happen.
100%, for real.
So thank you both for coming today, man. Yes, we got a lot to talk about. I mean, we haven't done a kick-out episode for a little while, so. Let's unpack WrestleMania weekend first, and before we talk about anything else, Mex, you were at Philadelphia. You were doing some prep. Well, you were doing press. You were doing stuff for Rest Things as well, and you got to see arguably one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. How was that for you? Let's go back to last year. You were at LA last year for 39. How does it compare to 40?
I think, well, on one aspect, 39, I went as completely as a fan that was just, you know, looking to enjoy the show. I was so sure we were going to see The Rock at 39, and that's why I decided to get on the plane and go. LA, everything just added up, but clearly it didn't. And then this time around was a bit more of the work stuff, or, you know, what we like doing, content creating, podcasting, made some connections out there, filmed some content out there, went to some amazing places like the Suplex Vintage Store, which is the world's largest.
I saw that on your socials. That looks
you
sick.
Would love that.
Yeah.
You would love that. Like,
right.
Honestly, I'm not someone that's ever been into like merch and collecting stuff and all that kind of bits, but even going in there, you just know like, the energy is like a grail of all of this stuff, whether it's action figures, old school t-shirts, the wrestling belts. Upstairs, they had like basically ECW museum, which nothing is on sale.
I think I heard you talk about it in the podcast. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like we on Rest Things, we've got an actual dedicated video for our tour of that place coming out.
So when you say ECW museum, is it like, did you guys say it was on the first floor?
On the first floor. Shop
so
is the downstairs.
So
the shop is downstairs, and upstairs is just everything basically ECW and nothing for sale.
That's crazy.
And they've got a Stone Cold Steve Austin like bar set up there. And the ultimate dream for them is, you know, if they build the bar one day, Steve Austin is going to come and kind of grace it for them, innit? So, absolutely incredible place. It's made me have an appreciation for merch and things of that nature, to be completely honest.
I feel like you and I, we're not really merch ilk like that. Like, we got a couple shirts.
Yeah, but you know the stuff. That's the thing. It's just like... a figure and this
I know what you mean.
Like what when it's given context and everything, that was incredible. And then of course Wale Mania, which is the celebration of wrestling and hip hop culture kind of meshed into one. Loved all of the guys I saw there. Shelton Benjamin was the guest of honor, so he was honored, which was amazing. But nothing beats for me there seeing Beanie Siegel and Freeway.
They were there.
They were there. Like,
I didn't even see that.
They were there.
Did you put that on the thing?
Yeah, it's gonna be in the. I think that comes out. Might come out today or tomorrow on Wrestling's channel.
Wrapped up?
I couldn't believe it. Like,
this guy's face right now.
And I say, I'm not even like overly like everything. My younger brother puts me into a lot of music, yeah, because my brother's a producer.
Big up your brother,
like,
man.
Yeah, like just seeing that, and all I remember was all the old school films, of them Dame Dash films and all of that stuff. Like, yeah, like I loved seeing them. And then, of course, I was invited to Progress. So yes. I went to Progress, which was just, you know, great British representation in America and stuff. And they had a really good show. Ring of Honor was good.
Yeah.
And then we had, obviously, two nights of Mania and NXT as well.
Amazing.
So
we're going to get into that.
Done the whole thing. Monday went to WWE World, which is equivalent to the like Access, which they used to do. This is on another level. Right. I never went to Access, admittedly, but this was, they took over a whole convention center and it was absolutely crazy.
I do enjoy Access. The Access I've been to, I do enjoy, but I feel like some of it is kind of same old, same old. Mm. I feel like what you witnessed with WWE World is they actually thought about bringing in new things, introducing new things. Even the whole thing, like having Gorilla Position have their own podcast there, and then you have Liv Morgan and Piper Nevin join you guys.
We were at the 2K24 stand doing Gorilla Position. Next to us was Busted Open, so Dave, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, Bubba Ray were all on that stage. Across from us was the Funko station.
Amazing.
Kevin Owens was there signing Funko Pops. Behind us, they were shooting Pat McAfee show.
Yeah.
John Cena was on there. You should have seen the stampede. Like, he was actually there. I just thought he came on screen and they were talking to him remotely. He was actually behind me when we were shooting GP. We finished GP, then Cody Rhodes came in. Another stampede over there. Like,
you were like in the mix, bro.
Yeah, then the bump to the right of us. And I think Liv Morgan was originally there with Sam Roberts and stuff. Like, it was
that's
really
brilliant. And I think that's testament to how successful these wrestling podcasts are getting, the content that people are creating, how important it is as a news outlet. And it's good to see WWE embrace all different types of podcasts, and that's great. And I'm happy to hear that, man. That's good. I'm glad you got to experience that, man.
This was done by, I think, Fanatics that do the merch and stuff now. So, like, this was apparently the biggest ever that they've done. Wow. So
I saw a few videos online, and compared to the convention center that was next to the Crypto.com Arena, I know it's changed names. Got to big up the Lakers. But the levels it seems to have taken up, like, oh my God, it almost looks like you're walking into a wrestling arena.
Yeah, I mean,
the lights, obviously, literally. I wasn't there, man, but Mex, for you,
it was crazy.
How did it compare to the ones at 39? And
like I said, this was the first one. I've never been to Access or anything, so I didn't even have anything to compare it to. But I just thought the fact that people were paying whatever they were paying, I think it was quite pricey for this VIP, was maybe about $60-$70. But you can get to watch live podcasts by all of these people, buy your merch, all the stages, of course. They had like the NXT, what was that NXT thing, one of the cage things from NXT, I think the IS Survivor Challenge, they had like a model one. They had the In The House set. They had Firefly Funhouse.
They had all of that.
It's just
that's amazing, bro. And that's a show, you know what, when you see them working with the likes of Logan Paul, getting KSI involved, getting Speed involved, like, they are really embracing like how important internet content is. It's as big as TV now.
Literally, if not bigger.
I was literally about to say, I think it's a lot bigger. You've seen the success with all of these influencers getting involved, even down to the journalist side of things.
Yeah.
I think there's a crossover between being a journalist and a content creator and influencer now. You kind of, if you're a wrestling enthusiast, I think it's up to us to kind of keep pushing it, because if they're going to keep creating this product that seems to just keep getting better and better, I think it's down to people like us to keep pushing it out there.
Totally agree. We're going to talk about... In a nutshell, you're basically saying this experience is much better than last year.
Yeah, I mean, I had more to do. I was kind of more intentional with what I was doing.
Of course, you're doing bits. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just different level. I mean, the weather wasn't great compared to LA.
Nice though, right?
Yeah, LA was alright.
So, I need to ask you something important. What happened?
I didn't really
understand what happened at the airport. When you were getting there, why was there trouble to even try and get in?
In a nutshell, we were there on time.
Yeah.
American Airlines closed the gate maybe about 10, 15 minutes earlier than the ticket said. They said they were going to close the gate at 12, so the plane can depart at 12:15. We got to the gate at 11:50. it was closed. They said they're not letting anyone else on the plane. We're late. We weren't there by 11:25 when boarding began. We said that's not how it works. That's not what the ticket says.
100%.
Yeah. I think the woman was probably thinking, these are a bunch of lads just going on some holiday, and she was quite harsh with us. As soon as we told her we're going out there to make content, we've got people that we're meant to be filming with today, we opened bags and showed her cameras and stuff.
And WrestleMania and all
she
that.
She chilled. She was a bit like, okay, like I've maybe not done them a solid here. But everyone else that works for the airlines was very good.
Okay.
And then helped us. They tried to get us on a flight to Miami, put us on standby. Even Miami to Philadelphia would still been long, but we couldn't get on that one. They tried to put us on a flight to LA, which would have been very long. We would have got to Philadelphia the next morning at 6 a.m.
I'll tell you about
nothing.
My experience in a minute.
And then eventually one of them found a flight to New York, which is obviously kind of around the corner from Philadelphia. So we then got the flight to New York and then Uber back down, and all now they had already sent our bags to Philadelphia, even though they had told us they had come off the plane.
100%.
Then we had to get a Uber from New York JFK all the way down to Philadelphia's airport to get our bags.
It's weird, they did that stuff similar to me. It was the New Orleans one. We were in New Orleans, and what's that, WrestleMania 34? And when Ace and I, shout out to DJ Ace, we were checking in, they had the two seats allocated with my name on it and his name, and they were like, oh yeah, we got these two seats for you. And then they were like, okay, we put our bags in. And then when it was time to go through, they let Ace in and they stopped me, and I was like, well, what's going on? And they were like, we've sold your ticket, we've sold your seat, your seat's been sold. I was like, so what's that, well, how's that my issue? I already got told that we're good to check in. My bags are through. I was furious. I was so angry. And then I didn't understand what the manager was doing. The airline manager came down. He didn't even argue. He's like, he saw how angry I was, and he saw my point. Yeah. And he was just like, wrote me a check. I didn't get it. I just wrote me a check. And he was like, we found you another, sorry, Ace will have to go on without you, but there's a flight in an hour leaving to New Orleans. If you don't mind getting that, and here you go. And he gave me a check. I was just looking at it. I was still angry. I was like, so what? I'm not going to get on. I wasn't putting two things together. I'm all tweeting as well. I'm all forget American Airlines. They screwed me over with my big check of like £400-£500 in my hand. Yeah, they gave me £400 check, bro. Like,
spending money, bro.
I didn't even pay for the flight. So it's like, but I'm glad that they sorted you out, because that sounded like they were discriminating you. I don't want to be throwing.
I don't know what they were doing, but it's just like, to be fair, when we told the rest of this woman's colleagues that it was this woman at the gate that stopped us, they were all like, oh, like, we've been here before, sort of thing. Maybe this is a thing with her more so than who it is. Crazy. But
people like that, though, man, it's just like, you're not going to have, like, a party holiday. You're literally there going to create content.
And I think they were having a party holiday. Yeah. You don't know them.
Yeah. That's what I mean. And she's made an assumption.
Yeah,
and
100%.
I think that's what she thought. Like, we had maybe been rushing to the airport altogether. By the time they looked into it, they saw that we had checked in from 10 a.m. for our flight at 12. So we were there. And like I said, I think once she found out that we were content creating, you could definitely see the guilt across her face. But like she said, it's too late. But when they closed the aircraft door, that's it. So that's their protocol. But
went through that, man. I'm glad you got through it. And look at the experience that you had, bro.
Complain.
You can't take a good man down. I didn't ask you about, because usually when we get guests in for the first time, we always ask them about their wrestling experiences, their history.
Yeah.
So I never asked you, so what got you into wrestling? And if you can mention some of your favorite wrestlers growing up, and who's your Mount Rushmore?
I actually got into wrestling at a really young age, and it was because of my mum, man.
Really?
Shout
out to mums.
Yeah, but she used to watch a lot of the old British wrestlers on TV. It would literally just be on like main TV.
Like Giant Haystacks.
Yeah, like the big... and she used to say to me that they're literally... She was like, what I see now... She was like, I used to see them fighting bingo halls. It was an actual thing. And that got passed down, and then I started getting into it with, like, I would say... When I cemented it for me was the TLC match at Mania.
One of the best matches ever.
I think it pioneered a whole different era.
It changed wrestling.
And bro, Jeff Hardy was growing up was my guy in it. I said it on the Mega Powers podcast. I nearly broke my neck doing some Jeff Hardy. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, bro. My mom come in, she was like, you ain't never going to be a wrestler. Yeah. But my Mount Rushmore, man, my number one's Eddie Guerrero.
Come on.
I hear it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just for me, like,
one of the greatest of all time.
I think there was a bit of a period where there was a disconnect between fans and the wrestlers. And I think he was way ahead of his time where he understood getting that emotional aspect from people. Mm. And I think that's why, for me, my Mount Rushmore changes all the time. One name stays, Eddie Guerrero. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Okay. But you don't have another three? Because Mount Rushmore is four names, isn't it?
Who's your three right now?
Yeah. My three right now, I've got to put Roman in there.
Yeah,
I hear that. Do you know what?
I hear that.
I think it was at the SummerSlam watch party. Me and Mike, we were speaking and he goes, if this was a TV show, people would be going wild. Mm. People would be like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Mm. And it was, and that's why, and after watching the documentary the other day, that was it for me. Mm. Cemented it. Because it wasn't just what he's done for himself, it's for the people around him. Yeah. And it was the same with Eddie Guerrero. These people aren't afraid to put people over. They have built storylines with people who need, that might have necessarily, people might say would have needed a boost, weren't at the best time in their careers, and they've come out the other side. I think the entire product, and I would say the entire roster now looks better because of people like Roman Reigns. I'd put The Rock on there.
Yeah. I mean, he's great.
The final boss.
Yeah. Final boss.
The final boss
in the flare trousers.
Mama
yeah.
Rose. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah, but
I don't think I've ever seen a more natural superstar in wrestling ever. Like all of us grew up watching The Rock. So it's like no surprise to see how great he is. I mean, you saw him live this time. And it's like, you must have been like, still, even though you watched him as a kid, you probably still was in awe when you saw him come out.
Do you know what? You saw it in the crowd, though. I think a lot of people, bro, you saw they were just...
100%. Yeah. Like this, I don't think there will ever be a wrestler that could do what he did.
No.
He's just magnetized. He's magnetism, bro. It's like Magneto, bro. You're just attracted to him.
My number four? I would actually go... It usually changes me between Randy Orton and Steve Austin. And the reason that I put Randy Orton in there is I respect his longevity.
Yeah, like Orton's sick.
And to see how he's bounced back from all of the bad press that he had at the beginning, and it was his attitude, and he weren't really doing
things. He's worked on himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I think when people do that, you have to appreciate it, man.
Well, that's why it's important not to jump the gun and try and get people cancelled all the time. Yeah. Like some people, I'm not saying that we justify any nonsense.
Yeah.
Always call it out and, you know, hold people accountable. But to outright just try and ruin people's careers when they are, especially when they're young, like they're learning and they don't know any better. Like people need to have third, fourth, fifth chances, in my opinion, to become a better person. And I think that's what people do. So
we if you look at it from
some people do.
Football, for example, when these players are young, they get exposed to
fame, money.
WWE is a different level, man. It's international fame. You go as soon as someone debuts on NXT, their life changes.
Bro, you're on the road all the time.
That's true.
You're not getting much sleep, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You're young, you're ignorant.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how, if I was given the money they were making at
19,
20, I'd be an idiot, bro. I'd be a proper...
But it's true, like, even, you know, Adele says NXT, that's a very good, like, humble example.
That's right.
Even that, we could kind of relate that to, you know, just having a part-time job at any retail store.
That's
and
right.
All of a sudden, you get your first job out of uni.
That's right.
And you're not just kind of going up and turning up and earning a quick wage, which some of them do, are working for, like, $30,
$40.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden you've got a salary.
Yeah.
Like you've planned the
for
money
your dream
every
as well.
Yeah, for your dream job. Every month, X is coming in. You see what I mean? So yeah, I think there definitely needs to be more of like a rehabilitation process for these youngsters.
I agree.
No matter the sport, football's a great one, example as well.
And you know, bigger, I know WWE do actively try that with some of their stars. I guess some of the people they really get on with, I'm not gonna mention names. I guess you guys could kind of figure out what I'm talking about. But like Triple H and Hunter's got like a love for a certain wrestler and they're trying to do things with him, which is admirable. But I guess some wrestlers can't really come back from what they did, but some wrestlers can. And I just feel like it's good to always give people, have that door a little pry open. Just
You don't give people the opportunity to grow. And
exactly.
I think that's the biggest thing with that is that a lot of these guys that we are now thinking of as veterans, legends, are the people we grew up watching. Cena wasn't the greatest guy when he debuted, and he's been open and said that.
Mm.
And I think Logan Paul is a great example of how you can tell he's just loving it, man.
Yeah.
And the way he's taken to wrestling, I think we'll look back on it in 10 years and be like, I don't think you'll ever get someone take to wrestling the way he did.
Yeah.
He understood it. And I watched the Impulsive podcast where he's speaking about how much creativity that Triple H gives everyone now. He's like, I want you to be involved. Yeah. And like, even down to the finer details of that, the markers. And I think when you give people creative freedom, the opportunity to grow, I think that's when magic happens.
Absolutely. Let's talk about WrestleMania, Max. All right. So let's talk about WrestleMania for both of you. Night one, what was your thoughts, Max? You were there live. You said that the weather wasn't great, obviously, and obviously there was an excitement in the area. I mean, The Rock was incoming in the main event. And, you know, there was still an excited crowd. But did you feel the weather took away some of the excitement for the audience?
Not at the time. When I got home, obviously went to bed, whatever. Next morning, I'm kind of reading and catching up with everyone's tweets and stuff like that. And just everyone at back home seems to be just cussing the live crowd and just like, oh, the crowd was crap and all of that kind of stuff. I was thinking, what? Like, it was lively when I was there,
I would say it's harsh to say that. I don't think they were crap.
Yeah, I mean, it was cold.
Yeah.
Like, I was wearing two trousers. I was wearing a hoodie. I was wearing a jacket. I was wearing a hat, a woolly hat. Like, I was well-dressed sort of thing because it was blitz.
Kind of skiing pretty much.
And people that in the press box were literally behind windows. They didn't open the press and let them kind of take in the atmosphere because it was so cold. So, but yeah, it was, I felt generally the show was good. My disappointment was really in Jay and Jimmy.
Yes, we're going to get to that.
I was just very disappointed with what they done there. But then experiencing the second night, I said, no, now that it's a bit warmer, and obviously the second night was probably a bit shorter, they had one less match on the card. I said, no, like, now I can understand the difference, at least in atmosphere of the two nights. Second night was definitely more like rowdy.
Well, let's talk about night one then. So it kicked off with the women's championship, Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley for the women's championship. Dale, what did you think of this match?
Bro, I'll be honest. I think I was saying this at uni, so that would have been 6 years ago when I had hair. and I was like, there's just something that this girl has, this woman. Rio. And at the time, I think she was 21 at the time, and she was young, and she left home at a young age to pursue her dreams.
Yeah, she did.
And now it's come full circle, man. And I think she is probably one of the most important people on the roster now. Period.
Yeah, she's a star. It's interesting because I remember when I interviewed her in 2019 and she was so she was still very shy. Yeah. Like, she was already up and coming because I think at that time Toni Storm was the NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah.
And Rhea was becoming her rival.
So she had probably just come to the country like a year before that, max.
We had a nice conversation.
She was in UK first.
UK. Yeah, NXT UK first. And then we had a nice chat about, you know, her love for rock and roll and how she used to do mosh pits and stuff like that. But she was still, you could tell she was very like, I don't know. I can't describe it. It was like she was very sweet and bubbly, but there was something there where she couldn't fully be herself.
Just within herself.
Yeah. And to see how she is now, she's a megastar. But didn't she? I heard a rumor she had an anxiety attack backstage. Is that true?
On the day
on
of
the
WrestleMania.
Night. You would never know that, if you know. See it. But apparently, because obviously, you know, Becky got sick. Becky's sick and she had...
On WrestleMania as
well? Yeah, Becky was sick and she had... Strepsils. Like, what's it called? Strepsils?
Yeah, strepsils.
Well, you can't talk or something.
Oh, I don't know.
Stepsis or something like that. Something where it's like, if it fucks up your throat, you can't really talk. Yeah. Your throat's messed up. So Becky had that, and apparently, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that Rhea Ripley had a panic attack backstage. But you would never see that when she came out.
I was, do you know what? I was a bit, I don't want to say skeptical, but I was a bit skeptical. I was after the chain because I was like, is this really the way, like, because I'll be honest, I wanted Bianca in that spot or I wanted Jade in that spot to begin with.
Against Rhea.
Yeah, against Rhea.
Okay. I think with both of those women, that needs to be a bit more of a build.
Yeah. And
I wouldn't even do next year.
No.
I would do maybe 42.
I think next year's Rhea Bianca.
Yeah. You think so?
Mm. I think next year's Rhea Bianca, and I think it would make sense to have Jade turn at Mania, build from the year towards 42.
So Rhea beats Bianca's WrestleMania streak.
Oh, you think she's gonna win?
The way I'm saying it is, I think Jade's gonna cost her streak, and then she's gonna face her. At 42.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what you're saying. So Jade costs Bianca the streak, and Rhea. Hold on. So Jade doesn't beat the streak. Jade is the reason why Bianca loses the streak.
Yeah,
I think that's a good show. Have them have friends for the whole year.
Yeah.
Because Jade,
I want them to win the tag titles. I want them to do the whole thing.
As great as Bianca is as a heel. Jade. I think Jade is a better heel.
Even down to like the little things, like her pin, bro. And I think it's so simple, something so simple.
Yeah,
but imagine that as a heel. Like, that is it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's going to be like, her doing that, she's pinning your favorite wrestler. Like,
that's one of the things she's brought over from AEW, which they haven't changed about her. Like, she's still been doing
that. She still has the theme, really. They just kind of twerked it a bit. It's still the theme. Same. Yeah, I love that theme. Yeah.
Bro, it's on my gym playlist, along with your new album as well, bro.
Thank you, my brother. Love Time and Heritage. Just get his new album out now. Cheap plug. Thank you, brother. There's a question. All right. You probably, because you were there live, you probably couldn't see what we saw. I mean, you watched it back when you got home. But the Becky's entrance.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
With the book stuff.
I didn't mind at first, but I felt it was just too long. I was like, why is this still going?
Yeah, I mean, she's getting into that realm of those kind of Triple H-ish entrances now. Entrances. Like, even last year, her entrance was that, like, the Marvel comic or something, if I remember. I mean, she's promoting her book in it. I didn't mind the touch of her gear had, like, paragraphs of her book on it, which I thought was cool. But yeah, I didn't think maybe the CGI graphics necessarily worked well with the background. I think that was more my issue.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, we had this was a really nice touch by WWE. Big up WWE for this. The ladder match, the 6-pack ladder match with Awesome Truth, DIY, Judgment Day Priest and Balor,
New Catch Republic. Who else was in there? Theory and Waller.
Yeah. A-Town Down Under.
Yeah.
It was just them, innit?
The six-pack.
That was the six.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. How did you guys think about this match? I'm going to you first, mate.
Well, the first half of the match in the stadium, the screen wasn't on.
What?
Yeah, so I don't know if the chants came across on TV and people were asking to fix the screen and stuff.
I heard, like, random cheering and stuff like that throughout the match.
Yeah, so that's probably when the screen came on, when you heard the cheering. But obviously, for those watching in the ring and stuff, like, the action was good. It was a car crash in a good way, which it needed to be, because that's the kind of match it was. I was very happy that the separation of the titles made sense. It was done in a clean way, because when I thought they were going to do this, I thought this is going to be a bit of a mess, but it's better than, you know, two GMs coming out and then just separating the titles for no reason.
I don't like when they swap their titles over.
Yeah, I hate when they do that.
Fight me first, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
So yeah, 100%. I'm happy they found a way to kind of do this. I was surprised that even though the Waller and Theory grabbed the SmackDown titles, I thought they would grab the titles and leave.
Yeah.
They were allowed to stay and still fight for the Raw.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I think it kind of cemented it for everyone when the camera panned to the ring and the titles were separated by quite some distance. They weren't near each other. Like, it would be very hard to grab both sets of titles. Yeah. And I was just happy that Truth got his main moment.
52 years old, a legend, a veteran, like, he's been grinding away, doesn't complain. Is that his only title he's won at WWE?
No, he's US champ before.
Oh, he was US champ before, you're right.
But yeah, that's his first WrestleMania win. And he's been in
WWE title match. He wasn't for IC champ, was he?
No.
So he was US champ before.
24-7.
Okay, so you're right. Oh yeah, 24-7. So he has won titles before, but it was nice that he got that touch, especially with Awesome Truth, because when they were red hot, when they first formed, that was cut short.
Yeah.
So to give them that, you know, that it's come full circle, and it's good. And now Miz is kind of propping R-Truth this time. R-Truth is kind of the star of the group now. Yeah. Big up R-Truth, he's very loved, and it's good to see him get the title. This next match, I felt, was a good match, but the ending for me, I want to ask you how it felt, the hell you thought was going on when you first saw this. The Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos and Dominic Mysterio. I mean, everything else was booked really well. The action was great. The back and forth, the both factions going at each other. They even didn't even do the Carlito turn because they knew that was going to be obvious. So they probably scrapped that. That probably was in the works, but they scrapped that.
I was convinced it was happening.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
But I think
it's
going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm. So instead, they did a different ending when they had two NFL stars appear in Rey Mysterio masks. I was like, what's going on? Because these guys look like, I thought they were like a new members of the Wyatt family, bro.
Bro, they look jacked.
And I just thought, I remember I tweeted when it happened, I was like, oh, that's not a good ending. And then an American follower commented on me and he's like, well, you don't understand. It's like Jack Grealish showing up at a wrestling event. Like, I don't want to see Jack Grealish at a wrestling event. What do you mean, bro?
I want to see him play football.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to see him cutting from the left wing, bro.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
But apparently one of the NFL stars is the brother of that NFL star that's David Taylor Swift.
Eagles were in the finals.
Of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the crowd did pop. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, the crowd did pop.
But I didn't realise how big, like, they love the Eagles, bro. Mm. They are like God level to them out in Philly.
So that's probably why they did
it. Yeah, man.
That's why they did it. And it looked like they had fun. But I just felt like it was just, I mean, the match was thrown together anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, at least give Dominic his lick back, man.
Yeah, and that was probably more annoying for me because I was like, well, this match has been thrown together. I don't want to see this, but at least Dominic is going to get a win here. And then they brought it out and they bring out these two massive guys in luchador masks and I'm racking my brain for the next 20 seconds like, who could this be? Is that Gallows and Anderson?
You know what I mean?
Can't be too big. Who's this out? I'm asking my cousin. I was next to me, but he was throwing some names out. We just couldn't work it out. And they took off the mask and we're looking on the tron and we're like, who the hell is that guy?
Exactly, bro.
And then the guy next to us is like, oh my God, that's Eagles superstar, something Kelch. And we're like,
okay.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah. Like, and at least give Dominic his win and then the faction could have jumped.
Let
Ray,
them come do a beat and something.
And
yeah.
Then they could have come and saved the day.
Yeah.
Don't like not let Dominic win, man. I just thought that was ridiculous.
Mate, Dominic Mysterio, he's going to go so far. He's
brilliant. He is brilliant.
He gets the game now. And I think he had people like Edge to learn from. That's Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
But I just
Even Eddie, he's learned from Eddie.
Man. Do you know what I mean? And he's been around the game for so long, but I think he was always going to have that sort of caveat over him of Rey Mysterio's son. And he's shed that skin now. He's his own entity.
This is for me personally, I'm always the person that will say, I'm here for nepotism. Because if we were all in positions to bring through our kids or whatever the case is, we would
do it. 100%.
I'm here for nepotism. Yeah. But you have to stay here when I bring you here. 100%. You've got to work, you know, and
be realistic with the nepotism. Like if you know that your son or daughter is not doing good, work them harder. Work them hard, but bring them in because his talent is working. The next generation are killing it.
He's turned it around and he's had the help and support of some great wrestlers along the way. I mean, his first match was against Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Like, great wrestlers along the way. Even what we're seeing now with Ava in NXT, like, they can clearly see, well, she's a daughter of The Rock. Maybe this wrestling thing's not
she's
so much for
better,
her
though.
Right now. As a GM,
she's
great.
She's really doing good.
As a GM, she's come along so far. Yeah. So
I think she's going to face Roxanne down the line. I think her and Rock, it might not be for the title, but I think it would be nice because they always clash. You see them on TV, always clashing. Yeah. And I think for her to come back into an in-ring role, I think it has to be in a way where she's facing one of the NXT superstars.
It's got to be big, yeah.
I was quite upset with how her in-ring career kind of just got pushed to the side so quickly. And obviously,
but she's probably still working on it.
Yeah, and I thought.
But Mex is right. Like, they did the right thing with making her a GM. Yeah. Her father's The Rock. So she's grown up with one of the most charismatic men in the planet. So she's got that in her. If you guys remember when Stephanie first started, when she first showed up in Armageddon 99 with the steel chair. And well, that's not when she first showed up because she was doing a lot of stuff with the Ministry of Darkness. But remember when she first turned heel, when she first turned heel and she joined forces with Triple H and she hit her dad with the chair, she wasn't the best talker. She wasn't. Like, she needed a lot of work. And you see how she is now. She became into her character. She became great. So I could see that a lot of that with
being The Rock's daughter just means that she's not afforded to learn on TV.
That's
because they don't want her to look bad.
That's right.
Anyone else, they'll just make them learn on TV.
That's true. That's
just good. So she just has to keep plucking away behind the scenes and then maybe return at it one day.
Right, next match. I think everybody knows we all in agreement with this. This was a bit of a letdown. People were looking forward to this match, running this match the most. This was the brother versus brother match. They talk about, we have a classic brother versus brother match. Owen and Brett in the past, which for me, is still the best brother versus brother match in WrestleMania history. You had the Hardys, which was a good match. This, unfortunately, was a bit of a letdown. What do you think went wrong, Mex? Because it was a super kick party. It was very much, I don't know.
I think that's exactly it. Like, there was no match, there was no story really to be told. And I realised this back in January. When Jey Uso came out first for the Rumble and then Jimmy came out second and we got that moment and the massive pop and Jey selling it so well and they went face to face, I thought, this is what I wanted. I don't want to see these two wrestle. And then they never followed through in the Rumble.
Yeah.
And then we get this match, which they just based it off all the bloodline stuff. Obviously, Jimmy costed Jey on a couple occasions trying to win singles titles. They put together a great vignette showing them wrestling in their living room, which of course they're going to have footage of because they're the Usos and their dad is Rikishi and everything like that. But the match, there was no substance. There was just nothing. They never had enough. sorry, they had enough time to go and, you know, tell some type of story. Super kicks just all over the place. Then Jay believes, for whatever reason, on the WrestleMania stage, Jimmy's apologizing to him after all of this time. He buys into that. Like, I just felt like going into this, I knew this was going to be a bad match.
Yeah.
But I was very much like, I'm very happy for them to get this moment. However, like, surprise me, because I'd have no expectations.
Yeah.
And this was just
it was a letdown, wasn't it, Dale?
Oh, man, you know how big.
I know. Jay,
I'm one of Jay's biggest fans, and I will always like say that I think he should get a singles title run because the work that him and Roman were putting in lockdown was crazy. Yeah. But for me, it was a letdown. I think the better moment actually happened in the main event of Night 2.
The scrap night, yeah.
Like, that is what I wanted on Night 1. I don't want a super kick party, as great as it was, but super kick parties for the other company.
Yeah.
But Usos, I have to admit, Usos are guilty of that. A lot of people do criticize Young Bucks for that.
Yeah.
Usos, they're as bad as Young Bucks when it comes to the super kick stuff.
I think they're worse.
Thank you. Yeah. I didn't want to say that, but I think Max is right. I think they are worse than Young Bucks.
When it comes
to the super kick stuff, they do it. It's too much. And I'm going to be honest with you. I watched WrestleMania with my brothers. Yeah. Shout out to him, boss. And he had his friends round. And we played a game, bro. I'm not even lying to you guys. We played
the super kick count. Yeah. Oh, we did the same in the group chat.
It was 19 super kicks, bro.
I was like plus 25.
But it was 19, bro.
Yeah. And when it got to like 18, I was like, yeah, bro. Hold on.
And it was like there was nothing. Mex is right. There was nothing to it. I don't know if one of them got hurt. I don't know. I know Jimmy botched the Samoan drop on Jay.
Yeah, that didn't look great.
But it just didn't.
I don't think they ever really got going.
I don't think they had a plan. It's just like, we're just going to go out there and do whatever.
We're brothers. That was their plan. We're brothers.
The story.
Yeah. They thought that was going to carry them. That was the chemistry.
So to rank that match, we're going to give it a no yeet.
No yeet.
No yeet. All right.
None.
No yeet. All right, cool. Let's Destiny's Child. Jay Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi debuts against Damage Control. This is what it was. We knew it was going to be a showcase. It wasn't really going to be a great, great match like that. But the entrance was amazing.
10 out of 10.
They look great together. It builds Naomi up, which I love to see, because for me, Naomi is one of the most underrated wrestlers in WWE. Till this day, like, people love her, people enjoy her, but I don't think people give her the respect as an in-ring wrestler.
She hasn't really got flowers yet, has she?
No, I don't think she has.
And even by going to Impact and coming back, I think she's one of the most underappreciated people.
She did bits in Impact. Yeah. I saw the matches that she had there. She was killing it. So it's good to see her getting lifted with Jade and Bianca. Big up Kairi Sane, big up Asuka, big up Dakota Kai. They did their bit, they did their thing. But it was just nice to showcase Bianca being dominant and obviously Jade getting Jade got the pin, right? Am I making it up? Yeah. Jade looked great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how this goes on. I'm not going to ask you guys your opinion on this. We all know it's
I think it done what it needed to
do. Yeah, that's right.
It ticked all the boxes.
But I will ask your opinion on this next match. Dale, you go first. Did you think Sami Zayn was going to be the one?
Not until I saw the vignette at the press conference.
The kickoff show.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? Until I saw that, and he was walking with his little kid, man, and I was like, you ain't getting this guy to send videos of his son.
You didn't see the backstage stuff with him in the...
No, I saw the backstage stuff. You're talking about
the video package that they basically put together before Sammy...
Came out.
Oh, okay. No. I thought you were talking about, you know, they done the little like pep rally looking thing, the kickoff preview or something like that.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, I didn't see that. So Sammy came out and flames Gunther on the mic.
I haven't seen it.
I'm going to be real. I've always appreciated Sami Zayn on the mic, but it was always, I didn't believe what he was saying sometimes because he comes across as such a nice guy.
Yeah. Right.
When he picked that mic up, I was... in awe, bro.
I didn't see that, bro. Absolutely, I couldn't believe it, bro.
All right, I need to watch this. I didn't see that. I missed that completely.
But the thing is, I think after that, I was like,
"That's annoying."
I wanted to be Sammy, man. I wanted to be Sammy.
That's annoying for me because that kind of if I saw that, I probably would have been into the match a bit more, bro.
So, for me, I won't lie. If I would have seen that, I still thought Sammy looked like the dog's bollocks in that, but I still would have probably said Gunther was going to win.
Yeah.
But I would have definitely said, like, Sammy's earned some percentage, like, it's not so clear cut. I didn't see Sami Zayn walking out as champion, no way, shape, or form. I thought the entrance was excellent with his wife and his kid, and then meeting Chad Gable along the way, then meeting Kevin Owens along the way. I thought that was class. But I just didn't ever see Sami Zayn beating Gunther. I just thought this was Sami Zayn's chance to have the match, and then later on it'll be Chad Gable or someone. But the way it was done, the story that was told, like...
You know what, right? When I initially watched it, I was a bit... I didn't want Gunther to lose the belt yet. But hindsight, now being a few days later, it was the right decision. I think Gunther has to now go on to main event status. He's done his thing with the IC title. We can get another reign with Gunther as a world champion eventually. And also, it does, like, Sammy being the legend that he is and the Hall of Famer that he will be, it does add on to his legacy. Mm. And I think, you know, I personally wanted it to be Chad, because I wanted it to be somebody that's never won it before, somebody new. But it might be the right decision. In hindsight, I'm kind of swaying to maybe they did do the right decision.
It's a long-term storytelling. He never actually lost that title in the first place, did he?
Yeah.
So it's like come full circle.
That's true.
Yeah.
From like, do you remember all the conspiracy theories? That's like years ago.
Yeah.
And when he picked up the mic, the thing he said to Gunther, he was like, I main evented WrestleMania last year and I won.
Mm.
And I was like, what can you say to that?
Yeah, 100.
Yeah.
And Mex, you made a good point on Gorilla Position when you said, look, they did the tag, they did the celebrity match a year before last year.
Yeah.
They did the tag team match with Usos last in the main event last year. This year he's won the IC. This could help Sammy lead on to a possible world title.
He's delivered in every match as well. Yeah.
He's one of the best.
None of those matches are poor. Yeah.
He's one of the best.
Even the Johnny Knoxville one, man.
Shout out to Kana, who's the editor of the Kick Out podcast. He's my brother. Yeah. He doesn't really watch wrestling as much, but he did see back in when Sami Zayn was in Ring of Honor back in the day. Yeah. He saw it when he was El Generico.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this address, and you were like, you'll see the moves that he would do and the sliding through the ring post with the spinning DDT.
The DDT.
And he's like, this guy's the best wrestler I've ever seen. I don't know if you remember that address, but do you remember the address? You probably don't. Yeah, so that was funny. Anyway, let's talk about the main event of night one. We'll have to rattle through night two as well, and then we get into some recent topics before we wrap up tonight. The main event, yes, The Rock, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, Mama Rhodes. And
look at your boy, Mama Rhodes.
Mama Rhodes printed on a belt.
I'm going to make your boy bleed, Mama Rhodes.
make your boy bleed, Mama Rhodes.
Is it the way he's chatting to his mom?
The Rock is big guy, bro.
This is different level, you know.
Different level. What a main event. 45 minutes, I believe.
Incredible.
From start to end, I was in the edge of my seat. At the time, I was kind of like swaying between sleep at some of the entrances and stuff, but I watched when this match came on. I was fully awake. What you were there live, man? What was the electricity like, Mex? When The Rock came out, when Reigns came out, tell me, man. And even when Cody came out,
bro, it was different. Like people were very, very excited, as you could imagine. For
so
this
many
main
celebrities
event.
Was there
like,
as well.
Bare celebrities.
So
were
many
there.
Celebrities there, and there was, you know, they were there specifically for The Rock. You know,
honestly,
what I mean?
No shade on
WWE, but a lot of the celebrities there was there for The Rock.
Of course, even his entrance was brilliant.
The final boss
activated or whatever it said.
Crazy,
And then I think for me the best part of it was we got so much out of The Rock. Like this isn't someone that just came. I mean, we saw Cena on Raw the other day. He joined the tag match, done his five moves of doom, and then that was it. Done. Like The Rock actually came and wrestled. He looked like he held up. He didn't look like he was tired or fatigued at any point. He went through a table.
Yeah.
Like he actually came to do business.
Yeah, he did. He did his thing, man. Sold the Cody Cutter like a G.
Yeah, sold the Cody Cutter, the spear from Roman and everything like that. I thought Roman was terrific, who was obviously doing the heavy lifting on that side. Yeah. You know, probably the most he's wrestled in his whole 3 years of being a champion. But If you wrestle sparingly and then give us like a 44 minutes that Roman did, where he knew he had to carry The Rock sort of thing, like I think it was great. I think Seth Rollins, you know, we'll get onto tonight too, but that's personally my MVP of the whole weekend.
Right.
I think he's just so underappreciated. And Cody again telling his story and, you know, them getting all the shots well at the end when, you know, we finally got the people's elbow, Rock puts away Cody. The same kind of identical shot as we got at the end of 39, when Cody was sitting in the ring. Michael Cole selling it on commentary, like, you know, this is all, it's done. How is he going to finish his story now?
Mm-hmm.
Just as an entire spectacle, it went longer than I think anyone probably expected, but not to like the detriment. It was really good action. So yeah, it was good stuff.
Great main event, man.
I loved it, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Like, we were speaking about it earlier. We grew up on The Rock. Mm. And to see someone that had gone away to Hollywood, come back, wrestle the way he did, and I think most people wouldn't have been too shocked if we saw a couple of moves, tagging now and then.
That's what I expected.
Me as well, mate. And I think to come away from that, you're like, bro, get me to that main event on Sunday. Oh my God. It delivered what it needed to do.
Yeah,
I think when you're, as a fan, you're like sat home and you're like, surely Cody can't lose this. Mm. Surely Cody can't lose this. Because I was at 39 and both the boos were wild. Oh, the boo, like, it was deafening.
Yeah.
So I was like, no way they're going to do this again.
Yeah.
And I asked him, Money in the Bank, at the when we was at the press afterwards, I said to him, how do you feel like your momentum's recovered? And he said that, Cody said that day, it's all about more. It's about the numbers. It's about the tickets. It's about the t-shirts. They're smashing all these records and now he's got the belt. Mm-hmm. To come away from, I know we're not supposed to say it, but Stardust, to come, go leave the business, for him to come back and have moments like that with The Rock was just beautiful for me. And yeah, I was just like, every single part of that match delivered what it needed to do. And I do agree with Mex. I think Seth Rollins, we're speaking about my Mount Rushmore. If there's any name that will make an appearance on there that isn't on this, it is Seth Rollins.
That's like phenomenal.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's you know, it's great how things work out in the world of wrestling, man. Like, I remember wasn't it WrestleMania 29 when it was Rock Cena WrestleMania 29, wasn't it? And something, I don't want to blame Rock and Cena for it, but something happened in that WrestleMania where things went over time, and they had to cut a 8-man tag which Cody was in. Cody was with Sandow, and he was with the Bella Twins, and they were supposed to go off against what's Tons of Funk? The Funkadactyls and Funkadactyls and what's the guy? Brodus Clay? Brodus Clay and Naomi,
Tyrus, I think
Albert. What was his Tenzai? So that was supposed to happen, but I don't know what happened with Rock. Something happened at Mania that they had to cut that match completely. So, and obviously when you always get a match cut in WrestleMania, it's always upsetting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So to come back all the way down now where Cody's facing up against The Rock in the main event, it's really wonderful to see. And Cody deserves it, man. Like, I've been a long time fan of Cody for a long time. I knew how great he is because you could just tell he had it. He always had it. And it's just certain things hasn't always worked in terms of how he was booked. But when the quote, the Macho Man Randy Savage, the cream always rises to the top.
Ooh, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Big up Cody. Yeah, great, great, great night one. Very good. But night two for me, Mex, I think was the better of the two nights. Would you agree?
Yeah. Since they started doing these two night shows, I've never been the one to kind of jump so soon that this night was better than this night, or whatever the case is. I always kind of just watch it back and take time and think about it. But yeah, night two felt very proper.
Yeah.
Like, it almost felt like very definitive to everything we've been seeing on TV. A lot of storylines literally ended. A lot of champions decided and stuff like that. So yeah, it was good.
I mean, I think they had that. So it kicked off with Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. The way this was booked was so brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, Drew dominating Seth. Seth obviously had the match the night before. His knees messed up. His knee was messed up anyway going into that match in the first place. Jude is dominating him with so much Claymore kicks, Claymore, Seth kicking out, Seth doing some of the curb stomps all over on the table, whatever. Anyway, Drew got the best of Seth, right? And how they did this, me being a long-time wrestling fan, even I was fooled.
I was fooled. I don't think anyone expected it.
I don't know if you were fooled, Metro. You were there. I don't know if you were fooled.
So
I wouldn't be surprised if you wasn't fooled.
We saw him doing, he won the match.
Yeah.
Went to his missus and went stuff to his like missus, that.
But even before he went to his missus, the emotional part when he's holding the belt
and he's
looking at Seth and Seth's crying and Seth saying, you deserve this, man.
Yeah.
You fucking deserve it. And I was like, wow, this is actually... They're giving him his flowers because of his duty at COVID.
Pandemic mania,
And then he raises the title and the crowd's going crazy.
The crowd was so behind Drew.
And Americans love Drew, you know. Yeah, Americans love Drew more than we love Drew. Trust me.
I think they do appreciate him more than we do here. Yeah.
I think he's another one. I think he's
brilliant.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Unbelievable.
I had my reservations before, you know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's won me over completely. And then he goes to his wife, like you said, if you don't mind giving
presents her with the world title. Then in the corner of his eye, and there was a brilliant piece of camera work.
100.
The cameraman was the paid actor.
Yeah, honestly,
that was crazy.
The camera was brilliant, and spots CM Punk there. CM Punk was clapping him and everything. He puts the title down. He crawls across the table and starts giving it the large to CM Punk. And CM Punk's there, like, you know, why are you making this about me?
He's saying about me, bro.
Yeah, you won your title. You're fine. Clap, clap, clap. Like. And Drew's giving it the large, and you know, goes to give him, gives him the crotch chop. Crotch chop, sorry. Yeah. And as he turns around, as when Punk pulls his leg. But when all that was happening, I was literally saying to my cousin, "This is taking too long. Why are we here doing this for too long?" I started looking down from where I was sitting, like to see, you know, when he's running into the arena, look at where's Priest? Not that I was convinced Priest was going to have an actual
cash-in. It was taking a bit too long.
And then obviously that whole thing happened. Another great piece of camera work when Damian Priest's music hit and they caught CM Punk's face, just looking at him. And the grin just came across his face.
He was more gassed than Priest, I think.
Literally. I think he was.
And when Priest ran in, like, it didn't look as good on TV because I've seen it back.
Right.
When Priest blasted him with the briefcase,
right,
if you saw the way the briefcase went flying, it nearly ended up in the front row.
Right.
Like, it was absolutely crazy. It looked spectacular, honestly.
Right, right.
Like, but yeah, on TV, it just didn't look as great as it looked in real life. And then he cashes in. And
which is great, because I felt like the internet was running their mouth a bit about Priest, saying that he's like...
He's not going to be a successful cash in. He's not a world champion caliber. He might as well cash it in or give it to Rhea to cash it in on.
some nonsense. They were saying that he might as well give Rhea to cash in another women's match and she has two titles. people just saying nonsense, bruv. And I know how great Damian Priest is. So to get him to cash in there, and that choke slam was crazy, bro.
Yeah.
And
his family were there as well. And
his family was there.
He grew up in Puerto Rico, but I think he moved to New York, I think, around the age of 10. Mm. So, like, to be that close to where you grew up.
It's local for them, yeah, yeah.
That must be just the most beautiful feeling. At the biggest, like, I know that it was marketed the biggest WrestleMania of all time. It was the biggest WrestleMania of all time. And to have that moment.
But, I mean, the views are crazy. The figures about the ratings of that WrestleMania is crazy. Beat all records.
People I know do not go out their way to watch wrestling.
Watched it.
I've got the network, so I would just...
Yeah.
Consume.
People were paying pay-per-view money for it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's wrestling's back. Like, it was getting a lot of hate on Twitter. Wrestling's back. Because when people start hating and shitting on it, it's because they know, shit, everybody's watching it again.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And they want to be like, why is everybody watching
because
this?
Because it's about that click, man. Yeah, I saw a few creators out there saying things about, oh, you're a grown man and you're watching wrestling. I'm like... Go and watch The Rock's entrance and then tell me, innit?
Yeah, but they're missing out. They don't understand.
It's to me, like, it's because it's ultimately, we're all consuming the same medium called TV.
100%. And these are the same people that probably watch The Bachelor. These things are fake too. Sometimes it's worse than, it's more staged than wrestling. So, and that's not me knocking anyone that watches The Bachelor. Anyway. Okay, and I loved how Judgment Day embraced Damian Priest.
Yeah, that was lovely.
Cool. That was lovely. That was heartfelt. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, next up, the Pride. Are they called the Pride?
Not officially, no.
So
they were marketed as the Pride, though.
Yeah,
the
I think they've trademarked the name, but they haven't actually ever referred to them on TV as the Pride.
So Street Profits, Bobby Lashley and B-Fab could be called the Pride. They kind of are called the Pride. Versus the Final Testament, Philadelphia Street Fight. Bubba Ray Dudley was the guest referee. Homage to ECW, but not really a homage to ECW because they kind of held back a bit. They should have went all well. They should have went all out straight. Philadelphia.
It wasn't extreme
enough.
Fight.
No, it wasn't.
One, two, you put in Bubba Ray Dudley in there, or Bully Ray. Something that you've been trying to sell to me for months. There's a serious feud where these guys don't like each other. Just kind of joked like it all up, sort of thing. Like, it made it all a bit of a comedy segment.
I felt the same. I felt going into it, they were building it quite well as well.
Yeah.
It was like, costing each other for the tag teams wise, costing each other for moments of Mania.
Royal Rumble as well.
Yeah, and I liked how the whole factions were getting involved, but I think adding him as the special guest referee, I think it took away the seriousness. Yeah. And it almost, I think the people that, obviously Bobby Lashley doesn't need another title run or whatever, but I feel like it would have been a great moment for Profits, AOP, and especially Karrion Kross, because I think a lot of people had actually written him off. I think they thought after he come back, I was that he had it, I people would have said he's gone stale. But now I feel like that match could have really helped cement them
I agree.
For the next year.
Yeah, they needed the win for me more than Bobby Lashley's team and stuff.
Like, they're over as hell, man. Like, you dead.
They don't really need to win, do they?
No.
And it doesn't surprise me now on Tuesday watching NXT, they turn up. Final testament.
What do you
NXT
guys think about that in terms of the people, like main roster guys popping up on NXT, going down, coming up? And
I don't have an issue with it largely because it's been done very well, sort of thing. They manage it pretty well. I don't know if this is going to be a long-term move or they might just be thinking, well, final testament, we're going to do a draft in 4 weeks' time. We're not going to have anything for you on TV, you know, on SmackDown in the next 4 weeks. Just go down there and do some stuff in the meantime. And then, once we do the draft, you'll be back, sort of thing. I think where we saw Ivar go down there on Tuesday, final testament, and I think there was someone else, I can't remember. Natalia. That's all it tells me. Draft is coming up soon. We're not going to use you on TV in the next 3 weeks or so. Yeah. So just keep active down here.
What do you guys think of the LA Knight AJ Styles match?
Better than I thought.
Me too. I was surprised. Yeah. It was actually quite good.
Yeah.
I liked the build in a way, but then it started to get a bit ridiculous. It was like, they've been arrested. They're now fighting at the media scrum. They're now fighting here. They're now fighting there. And I was going into it. I was like, I feel like it's almost going to start to become gimmicky in the sense of it wasn't really ever going to be a wrestling match. But I was watching. I was like, this is actually a very good match.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know how big of an LA Knight fan I am, man. I think he is just an example of how fighting someone like AJ Styles on the biggest stage in them all to get the reaction.
And he hung with him, man.
Yeah. Like, AJ Styles, it's no secret, he'll go down as one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, of course.
But to be WrestleMania 40 against AJ Styles, there's also that thing that they've both been in Impact. There's so many angles they could have gone with it, but I feel like it was a really enjoyable match.
Logan Paul, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton for the United States Championship. What did you think of this, Max?
This was good. I feel like, Logan Paul's become synonymous with like big spots and stuff, which I don't feel we really got. But apart from that, I think it was good. Obviously, we saw the friendship between Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. And of course, it's the snake Randy Orton that would try to kind of break that up, which he did in the match. I did think with Sami Zayn winning the night before, that Kevin Owens is going to win and they're going to have a little moment.
Like Eddie Benoit thing.
Yeah. I didn't think, like I said earlier, I didn't think Sammy or Kevin Owens was going to win this their relative matches. So Kevin Owens didn't win. But I think it was a pretty good match, to be fair.
Logan Paul got some hang time with that frog splash, man. Amazing.
That was great.
Really, very talented. And Speed showed up. Randy gave a RKO to Speed.
He
took it like a champ.
That looked stiff, bro. Yeah. It like the way he landed, I was like, I think we're not going to be seeing Speed for a little while.
But it's amazing how Logan Paul, like how WWE are really embracing Paul's brand. Mm-hmm. Like Prime was a sponsor of WrestleMania.
Even down to the turnbuckles.
The turnbuckles and the ring. Like, allowing people that are signed to Paul's company, like, you know, KSI. Yeah. KSI's a business partner, isn't he? But Speed is aside under that whole tutelage, isn't he?
They're tapped in.
Yeah.
Like, they just really know what's going on. Like, it's Nick Khan has seemed to get a real handle of this commercial stuff, and they are just finding a way to kind of put wrestling back in mainstream media. Yeah, like, man, you don't have to be watching wrestling now. And then if you're a follower of Speed, it's just like, you know, all of a sudden he's tweeting a picture from an A&E bed. Like, oh, I got RKO. Like people know what RKO is. Like, RKO is just synonymous with the internet. Randy Orton's out here tweeting, I hope the boy gets a speedy recovery. Like, this is it. Like, it's not something that, it's just slowly their attempt to make it like 100%. Pop culture again.
Yeah. I feel it's working.
I think it's come a long way. Like, under he would not be named, we was at a point where I feel like we were entering a social age, but WWE weren't really taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
Now,
The gloves are off. Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see. And you even see with the stuff with Logan Paul, it's that creativity. They're allowed to just go out and enjoy what they're doing. Yeah. And I think that's just more testament. Look at like, I know it's like the way everyone's saying now, it's like, oh, we're in the Triple H. I genuinely believe that now.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, we are. I forgot to mention Stephanie came out and said we're in the Triple H era. So.
That was nice.
Her in the ECW hat for the Hall of Fame as well. I was like,
the women's speech was amazing. You got to saw that live as well, innit?
I didn't go to Hall of Fame, but yeah. I watched it twice.
Amazing.
I watched it twice.
Probably the best speech in Hall of Fame history.
Yeah, it's not being topped.
No. Bayley defeated Io Sky for the WWE Women's Champion. I guess we all knew that was coming. It was Bayley's time. Give her flowers. But what a match. Great match.
It was a good match. I was very happy Bayley did win. I predicted her to win, but I was skeptical because she's such a giver.
Yeah.
And like she would want to make these girls go over and stuff like that and give them their shine. But it was definitely
her time.
And it's well deserved.
But big up EOS guy, that reversal she did. What did she reverse? But she did the handstand.
Oh, is it a rose plant?
The rose plant. And she just kind of popped up. Yeah. Oh, I was like, that was mad. Yeah, I went crazy when I saw that.
I think, do you know what? I think Io might be one of the most underrated people.
She's incredible.
She's a freak of nature.
She's incredible, bro. She's incredible. All right. And let's go. Let's talk about the main event. Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. The streak versus the story. Mm. You know, back in what, 2014 was it when Roman Reigns won Royal Rumble?
15.
Was that 2015?
Yeah.
In Philadelphia. Mm. And The Rock came down and raised Roman Reigns' arm. He was booed out of the building.
I'd say he was booed out of Philly. Like, it was intense.
Yeah, he was booed out of Philly. We come to 2024, nearly 10 years later, and he's not only has built up his profile, he's built up WWE's profile. He's produced one of the best wrestling angles in a long time. He's had one of the best streaks in wrestling for a long time, one of the best title reigns. He is the man right now. And it's give Mex his due, because me had a lot of arguments back in the day. You were lobbying for him when I wasn't really a big fan of his. Mm. But you were always lobbying for him. And to see how he's changed everybody's mind, mine included. Were you ready for him to lose the belt? Did you think it was the right decision?
He had to lose the belt. He had to lose the belt. I think for me, it was confirmed he was going to lose after the documentary. I watched the documentary on the plane there, and that was fantastic in itself. But it's just like, he's done so much. He said, like, if I lose, I'm stepping away. Like, there's nothing else I've got to do here. He spoke as well about, obviously, his health with the leukemia and that battle, which I don't think he needed to mention, per se. But, yeah, for me, it was just like, yeah, he's put in a bow on this chapter, at least. And then we'll see him somewhere else down the road. And even the TikTok he done, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, yesterday we mourned. Today is day one.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like...
He's not... He knows the game,
I was so gassed. I was like, Cody can lose now. Like, I'm happy. Like, my guy's back. He's coming back. It was just... It needed to happen. Like, all weekend we've heard New Era, Triple H's Era, whatever the case is. So this cemented it, and it was just a feel good moment. Like,
thinking of feel good moments. There's we'll get back to Reigns.
Mm.
There's a few in WrestleMania. They always produce some really emotional feel good moments. You had the Savage and Elizabeth reunion. You had the Benoit Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
When they met up with the belts and they hugged and embraced.
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30. Yeah. There's a lot more. Kofi Mania.
Yeah.
This one, though, in particular, when Cody pinned Reigns' shoulders to the mat, even Reigns was smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could see everybody was happy for Cody.
Do you know the best part of that was? Was when Seth Rollins was on the floor and they all picked him up together and Cody leant out.
And shook his hand.
And you know what? And I was like, this is magic, man.
Yeah.
I was like, because his first match back in WWE is against Seth, and now he's the man who's helped him, like, achieve not only his dream, but his father's dream as well. And I thought, oh my God. Bro, the video package they did on the Monday still sends shivers down my spine.
I'm getting goosebumps right now,
exactly.
Bro.
Growing up all my life, I always felt Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was probably the greatest babyface of all time. Now I feel Cody Rhodes is probably the best. I don't think there's a better babyface than Cody Rhodes.
What, in terms in WWE?
In wrestling.
I don't think he's matched on that.
He's
level.
So personable. He is who he is. You see how he talks to people. He remembers journalists that wrote a piece on him back in 2009. Mm. He remembers these people. Like, he remembers, he's clued up Even when he went AEW, he was attuned to what people were writing about the industry. He knew where to go, who to talk to, who to embrace, what wrestlers to bring into the AEW. I think I've never seen somebody that, when I say deserve it, I'm not talking about in-ring wise and worked hard in the grind. And there's so many wrestlers
as a person.
Yeah. But as a person, yeah. I think you saw how many people were emotional, crying at ringside. Michael Cole was crying.
Samantha Irvin couldn't even announce
the thing properly. She was crying. And, you know, you got Triple H emotional. You got Seth, Kevin Owens, like Randy.
Brandy's there.
John Cena was happy. John Cena stayed behind and was drinking and celebrating. Like, it was such a beautiful moment. Max, you were there live, man. How was it for the crowd reaction when Cody finally got to end his story?
People were just so happy. And it's like one of them ones where, like, you kind of knew it was going to happen, but it was just like, we're here now. And it's like a sigh of relief, yeah. Like when it happens. And they've done it right as well. Like, the ending of that match was so chaotic, but it was brilliant. Like, and it's just knowing that, you know, I guess this product we're now watching is leading you in the right direction. There's a right guy on top. The right guy has toppled this monster and his family. Yeah, it just literally felt like this is correct. This, it feels like home sort of thing.
It was also lovely to see Brandy show up as well.
Yeah.
And she getting a pop as well.
She got a mad pop.
Yeah, she deserved it, man. Wild, man. She was in the trenches with Cody, man. Like, she deserved it, man.
The thing is, after watching Cody's documentary as well, it was how much she refused to even when he was in his darkest, but she was one of the people that was like, no, like,
yeah,
this
Cody
is who,
that. Yeah.
And bro, when he speaks about his daughter, and it's just like, so many things come into play with his story. It's not just a wrestling gimmick or a wrestling storyline. There is stuff outside of the ring that comes into it. So as someone who's grown up watching this, I was just in awe of how well it was played out. Like, down to the Shield music hitting.
Because I didn't even talk about that. So the match was good. I messed up with this and I went straight to the end and went straight to the finish. So the match was good between Cody and Reigns. It was going back and forth. Then Jimmy came out, hit Cody with a sweet chin, well, with a super kick. And then Jey Uso music hits.
They met up in the off the stage was the best thing of the weekend from them. I was so vexed.
Yeah. They met up in the ramp.
Literally.
Jay spared Jimmy. They fell off and into a table off the ramp. Then Cody's getting the best of Reigns. Cody's hitting him with the crossroads. Solo shows up just like he did at WrestleMania 39. Spikes him. You're thinking Cody's going to lose. He kicks out. Then they do a spike spare combo. Cody kicks out.
Just to interrupt you. Just the consistency in Solo, and Solo's character has taken a battering over the last few months. But a consistency in Solo's character that after he done that and didn't get the pin, and Roman was getting all emotional about it, Solo's still pissed off.
Yeah.
Kicking like, the rope. Yeah. Like, come on, like,
finish him.
And even that, if they're telling stories the way they are, this is going to be what breaks the two of those
yes,
guys.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, absolutely. You're right, because Solo's doing all the hard work and Reigns getting all the love for it.
Yeah.
Cena music hits because Cena and Solo had history. Cena wipes out Solo, takes him out a few shots, does the AA on Reigns, AA Solo on the announce table. Then the Rock music hits.
Get out of town, man.
Rock comes out with the flares.
Final boss in flares is a different level.
What I love about what Rock always does is if you look back at the history of Rock as a heel, especially as a heel, he always mouths off to the ring. Yeah. I don't know what he's saying. He's always my friend. He did it again. You better get out of my step. Faces off with Cena. They got their history. Rock bottom Cena tells him to get the fuck out of my ring. Then the Shield music hits. And I'm like, what is going on? The crowd's going crazy.
For 1 second.
People
I was
thought
like,
Moxley was there.
The whole world thought Moxley was turning up.
But what was so genius about this booking is the Rock is looking into the crowd like, where are you? Where are you? But Reigns knows how the Shields think. So the Reigns was ready for Seth. Comes in. Seth had the Shield gear. Superman punch takes him out. Then does the Reigns start battering? You get the belt out, something. They start battering, whipping Cena, whipping
Cody.
Whipping. And then you hear the dong. The lights go out.
That sent the arena crazy. Everyone went crazy.
I thought it was going to be Austin.
But I was watching at home and...
I was a bit gutted it wasn't Austin, but I don't mind it was Undertaker either. You know what I mean? It kind of... Undertaker's the locker room leader. It kind of makes sense. Yeah. Shows up, choke slams the Rock, takes the Rock out of it, and it's just between... It's just booked well. It's like what the Sting Triple H match should have been.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like you can see that's what they wanted to do and it didn't get the same impact. It was fun, but this was... It
that ending might be one of I think the most well shot, well written, well booked.
I mean, even
endings.
Reigns picking up the chair to hit
that's
Seth.
What I'm talking about. We are now 15 years on from when they started, what year was it that the Shield debuted?
2014.
Yeah. So he is now 15 years on from probably the hardest thing anyone's ever. Gonna have to go through. Like he was essentially making the NFL, doing this. He's come to the WWE, gets his world title moment. He's now the world champion. The one thing that just you can tell, like there's that darkness inside Reigns. Like everyone's like, there's got to be a reason behind this. If you ever want, now you know why.
Because of Seth.
Yeah. And it's I was Seth like, 10. that cameraman.
That's crazy,
bro. Whatever. Blank check. Give him whatever he wants. Give him whatever.
And then he hits Seth with the chair, just like how Seth hit him when he turned on him. But he took his eyes off the ball of Cody. Because if he just focused on Cody, he would have won. But Cody kicked him in, hit him with a free crossroads, and he ended his story. It was brilliant.
The third crossroads was sold unbelievably by both of them. The way in which he's like shaking and the crowd's like, I was like, bro.
I'm just a bit conscious of time, so I'm going to rattle through some things. So that was the end of Mania. Quickly, let's go to you first. What would you rank Mania out of five?
Five.
Oh, I'll give it like a 4.5.
Same. I'm going to give it a 4.5. I don't know if I can give it a 5. But at
if
least
it was
four,
just on
I'm,
that
I'm going to say 4. I'm going to say 4.
I think a couple of the matches on night one, if they were better, I think a lot more people would be saying it's a 5.
I agree.
I think Jay and Jimmy, that needed to be better.
Yeah, that should have been.
Just because of the amount of the stuff they had to work with and just didn't.
So I'm not going to talk about Raw too much, but obviously The Rock... Cody came out, Triple H showed him the promo package that the promo team, which surprised Cody. Cody didn't know that was happening. He got emotional, the crowd's crying.
The TV screen coming out like you're at school. Like, yeah.
That's real school that in the 90s. Like.
Cody is presented as a new world champion and Cody does a promo. The Rock comes out. The Rock was at Rock K that called me on the phone. Ace and I was on the phone with each other while it was happening live and we were crying. Rock was brilliant in this promo, saying stuff like, you're proud of your dad, is proud of you, smiling down like you're proud of you. You know, your dad and my dad used to run the road together. I don't know if my dad would be proud of me for what I did to you, but I don't care.
Unbelievable!
Brilliant, bro.
I don't care.
Now, Mets and I's got a theory about what Rock gave Cody at the end, in his hand, and said that he broke his heart. Before Mex and I, I'll ask about Mex to give the theory because it's the same theory that I have. But what's your theory?
So remember I said earlier, I've got two. There was a thing that I think it was one of Roman's beads.
Okay, that's what we said.
Yeah. Secondly, do you remember when the new WWE Championship was brought in by The Rock?
Yeah.
After he beat
and Cody
Cena.
Cut the promo.
Cody was the one who said, "Can I hold your belt?" Mm. Yeah. And the way that has come full circle.
That's crazy,
bro.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was like,
"Now the writing's mad."
I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, the writing's mad. I don't know how they're remembering all this stuff because like they do content
involved. The people involved are remembering it. Yeah. Cody and stuff.
Yeah, it's them. Yeah, especially Cody.
Yeah.
He would remember all that stuff. Mm. All right, so going forward now, I guess I don't think I have much questions to ask about Raw. Raw was good. Obviously, we know that Jey Uso's got a title shot against Damian Priest. Yeah.
I liked Dragunov debuting.
Dragunov debuted.
Because I think he's a vet. I think he, to begin with, I wasn't really sure whether he could make it work on the main roster. Yeah. But the way in which they've made the tweets, he's giving it coming out in a suit. I think the stuff with Tony D was unbelievable. Yeah. I think that was some really good stuff there. But I think that really cemented him as a character. And now him coming up, I feel like he could go far on the main roster.
He beat Nakamura. Yeah. The NXT champion, women's champion was
Roxanne Perez.
She debuted. She looked really impressive. I mean, she's always great in NXT anyway, but she looked really impressive in her debut. And Jade Cargill got her first ever Raw.
Yeah, she got a match.
Raw's match. So, they didn't really do any like surprise. Like, there's no Tama Tonga or Jacob Fatu, but you take time for that. You don't need to rush that.
I think that's SummerSlam season. I think that's going to be...
It'll be good.
I think Survivor Series... This or is,
we might have some surprises on SmackDown as well.
I think Survivor Series is going to be Roman and all of the people that he defeated against Rock and the New Bloodline. That's my prediction.
We'll see.
That's a good shot.
Okay, and before we sign off, let's talk about some of the current things in wrestling. Now, let's talk about AEW quickly. They announced on Dynamite, they're going to showcase the footage of what happened between CM Punk and Jack Perry. Obviously, they're using it as part of their storyline with FTR. But I just don't know if this was a good look. We all saw the footage. Punk talked about what he did on the Ariel Helwani show. It's basically word by word verbatim what we saw him, you know, pushing Jack Perry, choking him out and then screaming at Tony Khan. Did that look like that's something that would cause Tony Khan to fear for his life for what we saw there?
I mean, not for me. If I'm Tony Khan, if we're all different people. Yeah. So I'll definitely say if someone kind of pointed at me across from a table that was being held back by two people, no, I'm not personally feeling fear for my life. Yeah. But if that's how he felt, then that's how he felt, isn't it? But
there's talk that my AEW locker room are a bit upset about this being leaked and the morale is a bit low. Is this one of the first nails that could be put in a coffin for an AEW? I am no way advocating for that. I'm hoping that's not the case.
Yeah.
We need competition. I actually genuinely like the product. Mm. You know, they can do so many things better, but I just feel a lot of this stuff is just petty and they need to move on from this.
I think Tony Khan's the problem. I honestly agree. I think you get someone else in that position to oversee the wrestling side of things. I think he's great in terms of business and I think he's really good. Commercially.
Yeah, he can't be involved in this creative, man.
I don't like that. I think that the person who loses the most out of all of this is Jack Perry. He now looks like an absolute weasel.
Yeah, but I kind of felt that was the case anyway.
But the thing is, you're going to release footage...
yeah.
After what Punk had said, the only way or reason that you would release the footage if what Punk had said was incorrect.
Yeah.
I agree. If he's downplaying what he did. Like if he did something vicious and something worse. Yeah. But no.
This guy his dad owns Fulham, yeah? But he has never been to a proper football match if he's getting beat all his life.
And I'm going
to
be real. For a lot, like, not condoning violence.
Yeah.
And nobody's arguing that Punk shouldn't have been fired. We all know Punk. You did that, you deserve to be fired.
Yeah, yeah.
But have these men really seen real beef kick off?
Ever been to a hood?
That's what I'm saying. Because this ain't really that bad. Like, it's bad that you can break it up and you can fire the man. You shouldn't have done that. But it's not that bad, bro.
Like, it's really not
nothing
that
here.
You ain't
sense.
Really seen real scraps if you think that's the worst thing ever.
For them to try to out Punk from exactly what he said. This was a very accurate account sort of thing. Like, I thought for them to react like that, they've caught him lying. He's lying.
That's what I thought.
Now we're going to shame him.
The reason I stayed up to watch it was because I was like, I have to see this. And the reason I need to see it is because I think this could actually, a lot of people are predicting it's going very badly for Punk.
Mm.
And I think if it did, I feel like it could have really put a nail in the coffin and it would have overshadowed his return.
Yeah.
But I think now it's actually done the complete opposite of what they intended. Everyone's behind Punk now. Everyone's like...
Including AEW fans that were screaming CM Punk in the arena.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Like, it's such a bad decision.
The benefit is made CM Punk more over than ever.
Yeah.
With the rival, with their actual company fans, which is crazy.
Like, I think, like, if we had to come to this point of showing this footage, then I would have said, like, Jack Perry should be the one to show it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, like, he's a heel anyway. Like, oh, look, I was visually attacked by this idiot, this crazy man. Look what he done, blah, blah.
And you can put more heat on him.
Yeah, milk it sort of thing. Like, look what he done to me. And, like, oh, he, you know, come out with a brace around his neck.
And he could be a chicken
stuff.
Shit
like,
heel.
Yeah. Like,
and then he could do that. And that's a great idea, man. That is what they should have done.
I don't understand why the Young Bucks are using this as fuel as, this is why we lost in August. Because we had to deal with this backstage.
That doesn't
backstage.
Make sense. If Jack Perry did that, because you could do it. Now
I was loving what they were doing with the Bucks as well, though. And I thought the EVP stuff, like when they had the white suits.
They have been doing good stuff.
I thought Young Bucks were in some next bag, and this is going to be good. But
It's funny. The Young Bucks are using this as a reason as to why they lost in August. But CM Punk was involved in the scrap and went out and beat Samoa Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
Minutes afterwards.
By the way, Samoa Joe in that video,
brilliant,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
The thing is, you saw, Joe was fearful for everyone else. He was like, this could go really left if I don't calm this down.
Did you see Alistair Black there?
He was back in Punk.
He was like, he was on the scraps, bro.
I'm going to be real. If I know scripts, writing, whatever, if we want to talk about outside of the ring, people that can throw, Malakai Black, bro.
He's a kickboxer, he's like a world champion.
Yeah, he's a kickboxer.
He would have tied up all of these guys in pretzels.
100%.
Like, it would have been 100%. Easy for him.
100%.
Like. Yeah, literally.
So I just feel like it was another misstep from AEW. Another misstep they did on Will Ospreay's promo, bro. Man saying you're grinding on your wife and...
You know the thing about this, yeah?
Tacky, bro.
You know the thing about this, yeah? Like, Triple H obviously fired the first shot.
Mm.
So I guess you reply. Like, so I can't really say anything.
If he just said the bit when he said, to say that I'm not on my grind when I take flights to UK and America back and forth and produce the best wrestling matches, great. I have no problem him saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
So that's a good reply. I actually thought, and I thought that's all he did. So when I'm getting texts from Elijah, shout out to Elijah, saying, ah, oh, why is Will sending for Triple H? I'm like, oh, that wasn't so bad. No, look at this bit. So the only grinder you know is grinding on your wife.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, what are you doing,
bro? It's one of them ones where, yeah, two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
What Triple H said was correct. Ospreay has come out and said, like, you know, I want to be closer to home. I don't want the crazy schedule. These lot offered me more money.
Which is fair.
He's come out and said, and which is fair as well.
That doesn't make him a lazy wrestler.
At all.
No, not
like,
at all.
I think two things can be true. I think what I was more or less looking at it, like, at this point, Ospreay is the top babyface in AEW. And he's come out and done this situation and said what he said or whatever. And, like, this is just an isolated incident. The promo that followed afterwards against Danielson was great. But then I'm thinking about Cody, who is the top babyface in WWE and everything that he's done. This is the same guy, Cody, that went on Ariel Helwani's podcast after Punk and said, I don't agree with what Punk has said about these lot don't know business. He's now defending the opposition.
Yeah.
This is a babyface.
Yeah.
This is how babyface behaves. But it's like, I don't know, in that moment, I think Ospreay could have, like you said, replied. Like, he could have had to rebuttal, but in a smarter way.
That was it. What you said earlier, I had no problem with that. Just leave it as that. You know what annoyed me? You've probably fed that line.
Yeah.
He was probably told to say that.
Because these
men are vexed at WWE. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? I don't think Will would have said that off his own accord. But they probably said, Will, make sure you say this bit.
It's a bit weird with Ospreay because I think so many people behind him, and I think you kind of got this like British cockiness about him. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
But there's a fine line between being cocky and being like, you're looking at the things he was saying and it's just like,
I get Will's frustration because listen, if you look at his matches, there's no way you can say that man's lazy.
Mm.
His matches are crazy.
Yeah.
That man's working hard.
His
matches are crazy.
Unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
Like, you can't say he's not a hard working person. But so I get his frustration. Like if somebody's saying, if you're busting your ass week in, week out, injuries, all this stuff that you're doing because you're putting on these classics and he's putting on classics nearly every time.
Yeah.
And somebody's saying that you're lazy. I get the frustration, but I just feel that all you had to say was what he said about the travel bit and end it. Like the whole disrespecting Stephanie and...
That's a lot. And that's something. Stephanie is good friends with Renee Paquette.
Yeah.
And Renee Paquette
and Renee
had to stand
there,
right
like,
there.
Exactly.
She's not comfortable with that. That's
like,
not comfortable.
Tony Schiavone didn't look good either.
Tony Schiavone looked like...
He looked pissed.
This whole thing is just a mess. Like, yeah, it's just a... Again, AEW have recently taken up the moniker. AEW is where the best wrestle. Which I would largely agree with, especially after signing Ospreay, Okada, some of these names. You've got Omega, you've got Danielson. Yeah. This probably is where the best wrestle. So I beg you guys, just do that.
Yeah.
Just wrestle and stay out of all of this other bits and bobs. Like it's not for you. Like
there's a guy in our wrestling group chat, and he's very much. He made a comment to me, and he was like, "Oh, there was only 45 minutes of wrestling during Raw," and I was like, Raw didn't only needed 45 minutes of wrestling because the promos were that good.
I was like, I don't care.
Do you know what I mean? And this is like, if you're saying something into the mic and I'm not believing it, I'm not gonna sit there and watch it.
If I'm honest with you, I'm an old wrestling man, bro. I like my wrestling to be on pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
like obviously have it on Raw and stuff, but I want to know stories.
I keep saying it. Wrestling doesn't pay the bills. I don't know when people are going to start
listening. Exactly.
Like, some of the best wrestling in the world happens in New Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And New Japan can't keep their stars because guess what? Wrestling doesn't pay the bills.
It doesn't.
There's not enough money being made. So they're all coming over to the US and to the West to earn bigger checks. Like, let's stop this argument. Like, the only time I hear this argument is that maybe women aren't getting enough time on TV.
Yeah.
But like, to start saying, oh, a 3-hour show only had 45 minutes, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, the WWE don't care. They're doing record shows, 17 straight sold out shows.
That's wild.
Do
you know?
Think 45 minutes of wrestling is their problem? They don't care.
They don't care, bro.
They do not care.
You shouldn't be surprised by now, anyway.
No. It's unbelievable, man.
Dale, thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure,
come back
man.
Again on the kick out.
Yeah.
For anyone,
anytime you need me, bro.
If anyone enjoyed your views and your opinions, where can they follow you?
They can find me at Deltefic, as all my socials. If you can't spell my surname, check on the skillet. You'll be able to find me.
Yeah, man. And Mex, you know, you know your family. We'll have you on here all the time. But for your own channel, if people want to find out your own content, because you do so many, where can people find you?
WrestleManiac UK on your X, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube.
Come on. And that's been The Kick Out. And follow us at The Kick Out Podcast and all social media platforms.